Excuse me, can I talk to you about a request that I have?
Call this meeting to order.
You mean after the meeting?
And I'll take a motion to approve the minutes. We got 2 sets of minutes here.
We'll move Ms. Block if you want.
All in favor of both minutes?
Aye.
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 We're going to skip ahead to number 4, Resolution 382, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 11 of 2016.
Like to move it?
I'll second.
Discussion?
We've talked about this now for a good month and a half. I'd like to at least just try to get some public input and have this moved along.
We made changes to it, so it is what it is.
I was just going to say that, you know, there have been a number of changes to it, but I don't think that any of the changes that have been made have allayed any of the concerns of our two councils. So, two of the three councils, I should say, that are employed by the legislature. And I never opposed the idea of having the public weigh in on something, but having the public weigh in on something that we've been given a lot of opinion from the legal side that it is flawed, I don't think is in the best public interest, nor with what we're going to be talking about next month, talking about another potential piece of legislation that has quite a few questions about legalities for our ability to do it or not, with the human rights law, are we going to have a public hearing on this and then have a public hearing on setting a comprehensive human rights law, which would include, among other things, this? These are concerns that I have about moving forward.
So I'd just like to respond to two things you said. One, I'd be interested to know if there's any written memorandum regarding the objections that are still outstanding, because I haven't seen them. We did have a 3.5-hour session, and it would be nice to just know what those objections are and on what basis in law. And the second question is, I was wondering if we could get that. And the second question is, second point to me, I'd just like to refer to the fact that in several counties where the human rights law has progressed, they did pass earlier laws, such as the transgender law that we have. So,
could I just
go ahead?
And then they've incorporated.
Then I want to hear from council.
On that same vein, though, was it in successive months? I mean, normally, if you're going to pass something that deals with one particular subset of individuals, and then pass something that encompasses everybody, it would normally be, 1 year you pass this, and then maybe somebody else, right, has a, and then you go on, not necessarily in 2 consecutive months.
Well, may I reply? May I reply? So we may be fast followers, right? It's not early adopters. But I think that the reason that I proposed this as early as I did, and that a lot of people supported it, was because of the timing agenda that did not pass, notwithstanding the executive order, which does not stand as a law of the land, or at least the state.
It does until it's repealed. Until it's rescinded.
It has to be upheld in court before it can stand as the law of the land, according to my reading. And you are welcome to respond to that. Secondly, we know that part of what we're trying to do as a caucus, and we hope that you will join us as a legislature, is to say that this is not the time to be intolerant, especially in this election season, where we can all agree that intolerance is not a good thing on either side of the aisle. Thirdly, I just want to point out that the human rights law is a larger movement that we're expressing that we want to have happen. We don't believe it's going to happen quickly. We're putting it forward for discussion and as a way of, we know that's going to take a lot more time, but we do want to send a signal that Ulster County is a tolerant place to live, and that's why the transgender law was really the first step.
Hector and then Dave.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And firstly, also welcome back, by the way.
Yes, yeah, really.
I'm glad you're
back.
I'm glad you're here.
Appreciate it.
So, as Jennifer already alluded, you know, it's not as if somehow these are, number one, incongruent, that they can't work together. Number two, I don't think that any of us are expecting us to go and pass one thing and then pass the other. That's why, if you've noticed, the human rights law is even just being put in for discussion purposes, and it's not even being put in to be discussed until September, our September meeting.
Are you saying you're going to pull yours if this passes?
No, I'm saying that it's being pushed off. Like, even by design, it's not meant to be, you know, dealt with right away. Meaning, we could very well actually hold off actually on the overall human rights law if we sort of view that this is enough, you know, in the short term, right? I could totally see that being a scenario, right? However, that said, in terms of this particular law right here, right now, we have discussed it. We've actually even made changes. Legislator Berkey was wonderful about making those amendments as they sort of came up, as issues sort of, you know, as they arose. As a matter of fact, the human rights law came up as a discussion point because of this particular law. So if it wasn't for this, we probably wouldn't have even been talking about the greater issue of human rights. So in that way, this one was probably be more appropriate that it comes up sort of first.
Well, and it was my intention for us to get a discussion going, not to shut one down. So however this progresses, I would really like to see this move forward to the floor. It's my hope that we're just going to be able, as a group of lawmakers, first of all, to say, as legislators, notwithstanding any executive, you know, sort of the imperial bureaucracy, as you know what I'm referring to, right? We don't necessarily have to rely solely on the power of the executive to help us make our own statements and our own policies, because that only diminishes us as a legislature.
Dave, I think that's...
And I'm not sure where you know, Ken's argument is about these other ones were, you know, maybe a year or two apart. A year or two apart or a day or two apart, what's the difference? If you're, you know, you're moving forward. You know, we did spend a great deal of time on this. I had the honor of chairing the meeting, mm-hmm. and we spent 3 hours doing that. And it's so, I mean, my take on it is, if you either support it or you don't, you think it's a good idea to do right now or you don't. So I would call for the vote.
Before I entertain a vote, I'd like to hear counsel's legal issues.
Sure, no, without rehashing
everything. Did you put anything in writing to give to Jennifer or any other legislator?
We have an opinion that's out there that I can, you know, make available if I'm requested to do that. I don't know what the...
Was it sent out to us already?
Well, we only have until tomorrow, really, to talk as a group about it. So I just want
they're all the same. It's all the same arguments that he brought up at both of the meetings.
At the July 11th workshop, you know, we covered a lot of issues in detail. The two main issues that I brought up that remain an issue with the law, as I see it, would be, and Legislator Berkey first referred to an executive order. There was an executive order, but then there was also a regulation that was implemented. So they're two slightly different animals. But the executive order only applied, as I understand it, to state employees or state agencies. So right, that's now gone a step further. It's now a regulation that's actually been promulgated, and the State Division of Human Rights today will accept a complaint statewide from any individual that feels they've been the subject of gender identity discrimination. It will be accepted, it will be adjudicated after investigation, and there's a framework that's already in place statewide. We discussed the issue that the governor's announcement of that regulation being put into place was to avoid having a sort of piecemeal legislation that might have been in effect across the state, where you had some counties that had this legislation, other localities or counties that did not. And so that was expressly stated in the governor's announcement. And it is something that is in place right now.
so it's statewide legislation. It's not a law. The agenda did not pass, but it's stronger than an executive order, not quite a law. But the fact remains that it would have to be undone in order to, you know, not be in effect as it is now. So that was the first issue. The second issue, and really what the key of from my position of the discussion that we had at the workshop, remains the enforcement provision. And we had a lengthy discussion at the workshop that, you know, in the view of Erica, Garen, and myself, the state law does not permit our local Human Rights Commission to act as a court, to act as a quasi-judicial tribunal, or to do the things that this local law wants it to do, just in excess of the powers that are granted to it by Article 12D, and that's our point of view on that. And for that reason, it's the law as it stands is not tenable, and that change was not made. So
we never. I'm sorry.
You disagreed with it and didn't make the change, but that's still our opinion.
We never meant to suggest that they would adjudicate. We just suggested that they would hear, and they have the power to do that under 239.
Right. Well,
subsection of that.
I can say, as I read the law anyway, it's set up so that the local Human Rights Commission would receive the complaint, they would adjudicate the complaint, and they would issue a penalty. So, in order to issue a penalty, they would have to do that. There would have to be a determination that there's been a violation or not. And to me, that's one of the issues that we went into.
If the Human Rights Commission wasn't intended to adjudicate it, where would the due process lie?
Well, I believe it would be referred to either the State Human Rights Commission, as we agreed, or
But we talked about this with regards to both the sheriff and the county attorney.
Right.
Would then be eligible, if memory serves.
Just as anyone would do so. For instance, if I sit on a planning board and I think that there's been a violation, I'm not going to be the judge, but I will refer. Lots of commissions do that. Lots of commissions hear subject matter in their purview, and then they make referrals. That was the argument that we made that night. That was true also of the Solid Waste Commission.
I was going to say we also have that
locally. This is an organization created by the authority given to us by state statute, so we have to operate within the state statute.
That's our opinion, and I have to say, even if that was the intent coming out of that workshop, it doesn't show up in this law what's been submitted. Okay. So
regardless, actually, but we think it does, and right now we like to get it for a public hearing at least.
I'll just say, just so I can point out the area that I'm referring to, there's subsection B. If the enforcement officer determines after a hearing a violation has occurred, a civil penalty may be imposed. So what you have there is you have your local commission making a determination. I understand it says Ulster County Commissioner of Human Rights designee among the members of the commission. That's your local Human Rights Commission. So you have them acting as a court. We feel that's not permitted under state law. It's in excess of the authority granted to them by state law. And there was no substantive change. There wasn't even a linguistic change that could be considered semantical. It's almost the same law that was submitted before the workshop as far as the enforcement paragraph is concerned.
Can I ask a question, Nick? When you say it's not permitted under state law, does it specifically say it's not permitted, or does it say they can do it?
Right. So our opinion is that these commissions are formed pursuant to Article 12D of the General Municipal Law. The theory that localities can implement these kind of laws and create these kind of commissions is that they cannot exceed what's been granted to them by the state. So the state law specifically spells out these commissions can do A, B, and C. And so what this does is this goes beyond A, B, and C and gives the authority to adjudicate and impose penalties, which is not granted to them by the state to do.
Some of the other commissions throughout the state
that are larger and more encompassing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, but the conversation I had with you and Erica, they claim to be created under the police power of the county and not under, you know, the authorization given in this section of general municipal law.
That's correct, and that's not what Ulster County's done. Our charter specifically has created this commission under Article 12 of the general municipal law, so that's correct.
Go ahead, Dave.
I don't know. I mean, in localities, we have zoning boards issuing out fines. We have building code enforcers doing it. We have recycling here. You can get a fine. So I'm not sure if, you know, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
But Dave, if I could, Dave, through home rule law and through state law, that municipal home rule law and whatnot, they have the authority to do that. But I can't, as a county legislator, I can't decide tomorrow that I have the ability to start issuing parking tickets, pick up a ticket book, and start walking down the street and issuing tickets, because I don't have that authority. So just stating that we have the authority doesn't necessarily...
That's because you give yourself the authority.
Nothing says I don't have the authority right now.
Under general municipal
law... It does, because we don't have... you can get parking tickets out here in the county parking lot.
I can.
Well, you can as a legislator, but the county can.
I'm going to give Jennifer the floor. She's going to read something.
So, as I was saying, under... General Municipal Law, Article 12D, Section 239Q, General Duties and Powers. They do have, this is what we talked about in the session. The Human Rights Commission can inquire into incidents of tension or conflict, et cetera, et cetera. Conduct and recommend educational programs. Report complaints to the Division of Human Rights alleging unlawful discriminatory practices. Receive, accept, and or... Sorry, I read the wrong one there. But if they have the power to report complaints to the Division of Human Rights alleging unlawful discriminatory practices, that's what we were suggesting would be
that's not how whatever was submitted.
How the
here
language was revised.
Reads. It didn't come in that way. What I can tell you is, again, my understanding of these local commissions is that they were created to improve relations in localities. Specifically race relations. And so if they're going to engage in conciliation or informal investigation,
mediation,
and attempt to solve a problem, if you have a specific problem that comes up, you know, just to cherry pick it because it was in the newspaper, you had the issue with the barbershop, right, mm-hmm. in Kingston. So if they wanted to come to the local Human Rights Commission and that body wanted to act as a neutral body to hear that and attempt to bring the sides together and create a solution, that they can do. So in other words, they were intended to be conciliatory, not punitive. They're not set up to issue subpoenas. They're not set up to command people to come in with summonses. They're not set up to hold trials.
But the State Division of Human Rights is, and that's why our Human Rights Commission can refer complaints to
correct.
The state for such.
If they couldn't action. Settle the case, if they felt, look, we can't bring these two parties closer together, it's our recommendation this be referred to the State Division.
So are you saying that if we had suggested, if we had changed the language in there to say that it could be referred to the State Commission, it would be acceptable?
I don't think it can be an alternative. I think it has to be in lieu of. There would have to be a wholesale revision here, and that wasn't what was submitted here. It was discussed at the workshop.
Hector, and then you can.
Unfortunately, Councilor Ragucci can't make it tonight, but my feeling is that he was already involved with the drafting of this. Nick, you guys spoke, I think, repeatedly with regards to the subject. Our council feels it's fine, and I'm prepared to vote on this tonight.
Well, one of the other things...
So at least move it to the floor to actually initiate at least a public hearing. Not a vote on the actual law itself, but at least getting a public hearing.
I'll just interject only because it was mentioned. I hadn't spoken with Chris in detail or gotten any feedback from him in terms of legal justification for this or counters to the arguments that we made. But, you know, we did note that this was based on, at least in part, the New York City regulation that's in effect. And New York City, in our view, has a different and specifically expressly designated status under state law, where they're specifically recognized to have concurrent jurisdiction with the state division. No other locality is expressly recognized to have concurrent jurisdiction with the state. So New York City has that status. So Ulster County is essentially saying, we're just like New York, even though we're not specifically recognized.
Okay.
If the goal, to me, if the goal is to prevent discrimination against transgendered individuals and to ensure that when there are complaints that they're handled properly and that there is relief given to the aggrieved party, I think that the only thing that we can do is not move forward on a law that may be flawed. Because if you move forward with a law that may be flawed and it gets passed, and somebody gets and there's an aggrieved party, and they come to the Human Rights Commission and they receive relief, and then it's challenged, that person who received relief may be harmed if the law goes down in a challenge. When we already have, I don't see the emergency to rush this through if there's a disagreement about whether or not it's legally sufficient, because there's already regulations and they're not, you know, let's just assume that they would be undone, which I think is a huge stretch. They're already in place right now, but let's assume that they could possibly be undone. Does anybody think they're going to be undone in the next month? And, you know, going back to the point that Nick had made earlier about, you know, the governor's reasoning for promulgating state regulations is because we don't want a case where you can cross the Mid-Hudson Bridge and be discriminated on, be able to be discriminated against on one side of the bridge and free from discrimination on the other side of the bridge. It can't be like a running across the bridge asylum scenario. You know, there needs to be something done, you know, wholesale statewide, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, five counties that have this law, five counties that have another law, and people who are seeking this relief aren't going to know what the law is in their county, or what, you know, or how to receive relief or things of that nature. That's the intent. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
For whole sorts of things.
I don't know. You know that I think you. You know, you could understand some of your other arguments in reference to this, but that last one, Ken, is there's a whole lot of water there. I mean, you know, to me, I want to be, and then I'll go to the county where I'm not going to be discriminated against, I guess.
Well, I guess the reason that...
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of a weird argument you're giving me there, that, you know, we don't want to be... If the Dutchess County is discriminating... Well, then we should be discriminating, too.
That's not what I said.
But sort of what you said.
No,
I mean,
not even a little
confusing
bit.
There.
If I could, the perversion of what I said.
You can interrupt, Nick.
If I could tie into what Ken was saying.
Careful.
Chairman Rock was saying.
No.
The reason that I mentioned that governor's announcement was in connection with the first point we made at that workshop on the concept of implied preemption, because we do now have a statewide regulation. And in connection with the promulgation of that statewide regulation, the governor's announcement specifically highlighted the point that we don't want to have a patchwork of local regulations in place. That's why we enacted the statewide regulation. So that's there. So we're saying there's at least an implied preemption argument that the state announced an intent not to have localities create patchwork legislation. So that was the first point we discussed. And that's why we brought up the governor's announcement. The second point circles back to the enforcement mechanism, which is, again, we've gone over it at length, I think, in the workshop, and we can go over it again here in detail as questions might arise. But the main point is that we're exceeding the powers that General Smith's Law Article 12D has afforded localities with respect to human rights commissions with this local law as it's written. I would just also note one other thing, as long as I've got the table, which is that one change that was made in Section 2C, we did discuss this at the workshop, you might recall the rather verbose definition of place of public accommodation. That's technically been removed, although not really, because it's just been incorporated by reference by referring to the Executive Law Section 292.9. There's a comma, there's an additional clause that says, but shall also include any place within Ulster County that is open to the general public. So that, to me, places this law in direct conflict with the state law, because the state law has reservations and qualifications on what constitutes a place of public accommodation. So this law says, as it's defined in the state, but also anywhere else in Ulster County, for instance, kindergartens or schools or things of that nature, which are expressly exempted in the state law. So I think that's a definition issue that's new based on this version. Well, we talked about referring to the state law, but I don't recall any other place open to the public. But if that's what was discussed, then I could say it wasn't at my prompting, for what that's worth. Okay. Yeah.
So with regard to this, again, while I understand, Nick, where you're coming from, we just happen to have just a different opinion with regards to it. Okay. So.
Go ahead, Rich.
Can we get an opinion from the Attorney General?
The only person who
I'm
can,
just saying, not if, that I don't
if I could just
it,
jump
but, in. I
can't ask for that, but
B is the only person who can ask for that. We could ask her to ask for that, but
I mean,
she's the only person they'll answer. She's the
really?
Yeah, okay. the only
I mean,
answer. I think the chief legal whatever they.
I can say, and I think we discussed this at the workshop. There are Attorney General opinions, albeit informal opinions, mostly from the 1970s, and I've looked into those, and they support my view of this, which is that this is a creature of statute. You can't go beyond what the statute allows you to do, and they're not supposed to be treated like local courts. That's not the purpose of the issue. So we can pull those opinions and have them circulated.
I think that would be wise to have them so we could all see them. In the meantime, I'd like to see Jennifer move on this too, and I think the only sticky point is the enforcement, the court, who's going to hear the case. I mean, it seems to me the human rights can hear it, but they're not able to levy a fine, or maybe they could refer it at some point to a state.
Or somebody can just go straight to the state. They don't even have to go to
Kingston. Well, it's easier to go here to Kingston than probably Albany. I get that,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the ideas.
I brought this up at the last committee meeting, that as it states right now, the Human Rights Commission can impose the fines. So if someone comes before the Human Rights Commission, because if this local law takes effect, I mean, we're only talking about bringing it to public hearing, but if it, in fact, takes effect, the local law is the local law. And the Human Rights Commission now has we've given the Human Rights Commission the ability to, as counsel says, adjudicate and impose fines. So let's say we have a person who's been discriminated against, and the Human Rights Commission says, no, you haven't. Okay, so this law states that the Human Rights Commission is the law, and what they say goes. So will that nullify their attempt to take a civil suit against them on the state Human Rights Commission? Because it was my understanding that once you lost a judicial case on human rights in a locality, then that was it. Something like a double jeopardy. You can't try it again. Is that true? Because I thought that's what I heard last time we...
We did bring up the idea of res judicata, that if you end up in one forum and you have an adverse determination, you can't necessarily go to another forum. You might not get more than one bite at the apple. In the state regs, as they currently read, their jurisdiction is exclusive. So once you go to the state, you're there. You can't go to another forum while that is pending. The issue that Ken brought up, I think, is related, which is, let's assume you pass this law as it's written, and it's challenged, and the challenge is successful. Now you've deprived someone of a remedy. I think that is really the issue that was brought to the fore, in terms of there are good intentions perhaps behind this, but if it's brought out in the current form and it's properly challenged, and I will say that, and I know the law that's later on the agenda that's for discussion purposes is modeled on, I believe, on a Westchester County law, and that
predominantly. Bless you.
modeled on it in some respects, but I can tell you that the enforcement mechanism is the same. It uses the local Human Rights Commission, and that law has been challenged, although it hasn't been heard, so it's not ever been determined one way or the other. But the identical argument that I'm raising here has been raised with respect to the Westchester law, and if it's properly brought before a court, of course, I could be completely wrong, and the law could be upheld. But if I'm right, and I didn't come up with this argument on my own, supported by case law and AG opinions that I referred to earlier, then what you've done is you've placed a person in a position of being totally deprived of a remedy, because now they're out of luck. Because the court has said, you know what, the law is unconstitutional, it's preempted, whatever.
But at that point though, because it hasn't been heard, it's not as if somehow right now in this at this moment it is technically upheld insofar as it hasn't been successfully challenged.
That's correct.
But that's why we should that was this out there, Mr. Chairman.
The point is, it was challenged. There was a procedural argument made. You didn't join the county as a party. I think if the court had heard the challenge substantively, there's a better than average chance they would have ruled the law to be out of order.
So wait, you're a judge now? I was going to say. If you want, just let me know so I can vote for you or not vote for you.
Not anymore, but I can change registration and run on your line. Maybe I'd have good luck doing that.
We are quite popular.
But aside from that, all it is is an opinion. And this is the point that was raised.
Okay.
I think it's subject to...
Jennifer, then Carl, and then we'll vote.
While I don't believe in making decisions on the basis of hypotheticals or judgments on the basis of hypotheticals, we have to go with what we know and what is. I'd like to ask the council and chairman if there is language in that section that would, you would give us the exact changes that you would approve. And if you would approve it, to assure us that you would agree with moving this law forward, if we were to make that, if you have no other objections to it. I guess I'm just putting the ball back in your court. If this is all that you disagree with, as well as that statement that would cover kindergartens or whatever it was that you were referring to.
That's in the state law, right?
Right. I understand, and we actually had a discussion in the session that...
About education, about Title I.
Yeah, Title I. Their own laws in the Department of Education in Title IX and Title II, whatever other title. But I'd like to hear from you what it is that you think would make the law kosher and acceptable to both caucuses.
Well, there's a lot of policy in there, but as far as... Go ahead.
If I could just, because there is a lot of policy there, I think that what I've been told by our legislative council and Council Pascal is that the Human Rights Commission already has the authority to refer cases up to the state Human Rights Committee. I mean, we could write that, the Human Rights Commission can refer all cases to the state Human Rights Commission and transgender cases too, if we wanted to. But the law creates a local recourse, which we don't have. We only have under general municipal law, we only have the authority to pass complaints up to the state Human Rights Commission. Our Human Rights Commission right now, I believe, could pass a complaint that they received from a transgender person up to the state Human Rights Commission. So we could write the law. I mean, this has been one of my issues with this law, and you and I spoke about this from the start, and the way I said it probably wasn't the most eloquent way to say it, but, my constituents don't need to be told not to be bigots because they're already not bigots. But that having been said, we already have the authority to do what we could do. The language would be, I think, that the upon receiving a complaint from a transgendered individual of discrimination or denying a public accommodation, that complaint would be passed up. That complaint shall be passed up to the State Human Rights Commission by the local Human Rights Commission. But the problem with that's going to be that it misses the entire idea of our Human Rights Commission, which is the mediation level, seeing if we can stop. Seeing if we can, come to some sort of a positive conclusion locally before having to pass it up to the State Human Rights Commission. I don't know.
Carl, Hector, and then John, and then we're going to vote.
Okay. One of the things that I believe I brought up also, because this was going to be the second part of my statement, is that if someone truly believes that they have been denied their civil rights, their transgender civil rights, they've got a couple of choices. Do they want to rectify it by going to the, filing a complaint with the Ulster County Human Rights Commission, or do they want to file a civil lawsuit for millions and millions of dollars? And I'm just wondering if what we're trying to do here is actually counterproductive to what we want to happen in the end, because what we want to happen in the end is not to have this population in any way denied their human rights. But are we opening the door for frivolous lawsuits? Are we opening the door for using the Human Rights Commission for a springboard for a multi-million-dollar human rights lawsuit? Because quite frankly, I believe there would be two types of actions if this local law was passed. One would be the truly person or persons who believe that they've been denied their rights and they want to make it right, and then there would be the other faction who are looking at this as a way to a civil suit, and they would bring it to the state anyway. But would this local law be a springboard for them to do that? Because I don't want to enable people to produce frivolous not frivolous lawsuits, but let's say in this Olympic season, to go for the gold instead of just to mediate and correct the situation.
Hector and then John.
Okay, thank you. So, I'm just going to be a little bit mean because this is what happens as the evening goes on. We often find a lot of reasons not to do something, and while I understand, and I'll understand the concern with regards to, we don't want to mess up somebody's due process, right? Or we don't want to either A, mess up somebody's multi-million dollar lawsuit against someone, nor do I want to go place the county in jeopardy, right? But you haven't even proposed a viable alternative in terms of what we are trying to do here.
Yes.
Well, I understand. Hold on. No,
that's fine.
May I continue, or do you want to? I'm sorry. So, because right now your process basically is just refer it to the state, right? That's your one sort of catch-all in this particular instance. Just refer it to the state, right? Well, the state may or may not take up action. The state may or may not actually hear the case, right? And that is, at least my belief, part of where this local law is coming from, is that we actually then have a local, more local entity that may in fact be able to take action. And whether that enforcement comes from the sheriff or from the county attorney or from the commission itself, right now, we've put it out there right now, in its current form. If there was a better local suggestion, I haven't heard it yet. That said, we remain open to amending this, but if your suggestion basically is just don't do anything, I don't think that we're going to find that as an acceptable answer.
No kidding. Mr. Chairman, may
I'm going to give it the floor to John. Ken,
that's cool.
If he still wants to weigh
in. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm not a member of the committee, but I'd just like to say that this is probably the most substantive, in-depth, and courteous debate and discussion that I've witness since I've been prowling around here.
Oh, come on.
I think something has to be done. I would wonder in other levels whether there might be briefs filed by the two or three people that are particularly concerned with the legalities of it, because you want to do it and you want to do it right. I know that. And I think this is a great debate, a great discussion. It's a great purpose. It has to. The folks out there that
are involved have to know where the legislature stands. I just thank you all for a great discussion.
Thanks, John. And, you know, I'm going to probably vote no on it just for what Nick has said. I think you're this close, Jennifer, to making this thing right. I don't know if it's my job or Kenny's job to find a solution, as Hector would suggest.
I'm open to solutions.
I think the solution is out there.
So then if we don't have the votes right now, my request would be, with respect to what has been said, I would like to have a more formal memo so that we can, in fact, have what is a very fair and formal discussion
and
among ourselves.
What I may suggest is you work directly with Council Pascal and make sure that what, you know, he wants or, and Erica meets the state guidelines. And
he's not here. I don't want to step on him. Maybe Chris has already done that. I haven't seen it if he has. But
I think he's willing. He's done a lot of work
on
it.
Right.
He's done a lot of work.
Maybe that's where I should start then.
I'm willing to help him write a brief.
And there has to be a real commitment to actually finding, because if the answer that we're getting back, right, and I'm just be putting it out there, and I apologize for being rough, but if we're saying, well, hey, maybe we can do A or B or C or D, and what we're getting from the other end of the partnership is you should do none of those.
What do you do?
Or game
excuse me,
game.
May I?
You know, is there an F or an E that you're going to go and suggest?
Hold on one second. But what you're asking is, you're asking essentially, you know, what you're saying is, well, there's got to be some way to make it legal, and if there's not any way to make it legal, we're going to do it this illegal way. You know, there are certain times when there's no possible way to make something pass legal muster, and you don't pass them when they don't.
We're not saying that. First of all, I did not. Do you mind? That?
Go ahead, Jim.
I did not hear that just because the state hears it that we cannot hear it. The tail doesn't wag the dog. And secondly, just because it might be challenged or could be challenged when it's heard and overturned in Westchester, that hasn't happened. So that doesn't hold yet for me enough water to say we shouldn't have our own version of that, either in this law or in the upcoming proposal for the human rights law. I also don't agree that just because it can't be overturned at the state, that we shouldn't make a statement of our own that we're going to go one level higher, which is a legislative statement, not an executive one. So these are my three arguments, and I'm going to stick with it, even if what I'm going to ask you to do is postpone yet another month. I'm uncomfortable with doing that. I think a lot of people are watching what we're doing, and trust me, they are. They're, you know, ready with petitions, and they're ready to show up at the hearing, and I think that we're talking about something that has to be discussed before Election Day, because it matters in Ulster County.
Why Election Day? I don't do anything on an Election Day timetable.
Okay.
And I don't think this body should do anything on an Election Day timetable.
I think we have a season.
Our timetable is to try to get things right. And I'm not trying.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, we tried building the jail on an Election Day.
I don't think we should indefinitely postpone the work that we do.
May I just say one more thing?
Dave's got to talk.
Well, I did have, you know, my concern is a lot of times when you... What's good about getting it done locally as opposed to the state, it can be done on a quicker, you know, with a quicker process.
Of course.
I mean, I've seen people, I mean, I've been involved in local politics now for over 30 years in elected positions, so it's been a long time. And I've watched a lot of different things happen. I've seen things happen. I've seen an alderman once being... accused of being a racist, and it had to go to the state for, that's where they ended up having the hearing. And it took many months. Meanwhile, this guy is out there dangling, and it was on the front page. And then, meanwhile, if it could have been settled locally, and they could have had that conversation locally, it would have been done in a month or so. Instead, it lasted for 5 or 6 months.
If he's an elected official, it would have been a conflict of interest with anybody that knew him, but it would have been transferred to
the state. But the point is that, all right, well then, let's say it was then. But the point is, by not going locally, it went statewide, and it ended up being almost a year later before, and then it showed up in the paper and the back page or something, he did absolutely nothing wrong. But according to the charge that was against him, some woman said that he made a comment that he was a racist, and he made this comment, and it was proven that he actually never made the comment. She was mad about him about something else, and he played the race card on him. But the point was that if that could have been settled locally, it would have been done quickly, and he would have been exonerated, and the newspaper would have picked up on it kind of quickly because it was closed soon enough. Instead, it went on and on and on. And I think that's one of the reasons why you want to do these things locally if you can. And I certainly understand some of the arguments. But having said that, if we keep on saying we can't do something because something's going to be challenged, I guess we should never do anything then. I mean, we've had this thing on a regular basis. I mean, I know the prime example is how did the city of Kingston get the St. Patrick's Day Parade? They got it because New Paltz couldn't cover the damn insurance, and nobody in the Kingston actually wanted it at first. They said, no, we know we might get sued. Well, it's the same mindset. We might get sued.
That's right.
We might get, it may be found illegal. You know, you either do it or you don't. You got to say, I'm going to do something.
Kingston's game.
That's right. And I'm going to give Kingston a penny to the floor.
30,000 people show
up. Do we know how many cases have been referred to the State Human Rights Commission from Ulster County in the last 10 years?
My day gone it is.
I don't know the answer to that, and it's probably zero, but.
That's what I mean.
I can only say that published on the website are referrals to Albany and Binghamton, which are the offices that would draw Albany County to draw the Albany. Statewide percentage is very low, and I mean it's probably close to 0%, but we'd have to foil for that.
Right. No, I'm just
because the Human Rights Commission is doing what it's supposed to do and mediating them locally. But if I could just last thing I'll say, Mr. Chairman,
30 seconds.
Very quick, 30 seconds. You know, Legislator Berkey commented that she commented that people are watching and they're ready with petitions, and if people are watching, then I think they'll be comforted in knowing that we're doing things the right way and not the quick way.
I don't have any problem with that.
That's,
but I want them to be satisfied as I want to be satisfied to hear actual written arguments on the case.
I'm sure Nick will provide them.
Okay.
And
right. I'm sure Chris will
get it. Is everyone made it up? Mr. Chair, at this time, I'd move to postpone resolution 382 for another month, and waiting for those opinions to be brought forward and that discussion to continue.
We will provide a written opinion from our two councils. If you could please ask for a written opinion from Chris as well.
Okay. So, what's the timeline on the opinion?
When's the next meeting?
1 month from today.
I'd like the calendar in the next two weeks.
Okay.
All right.
You know, within 2 weeks.
That's not a problem. That's not a problem. There's a portion of September.
And I thank you for your gracious debate.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as I don't have to be here.
And we're going to take a vote on that.
19 should be fine.
Postponement, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you all. I'm going to skip ahead. I know John has a resolution on campaign finance, but I want to get Sue in and out, if you don't mind.
I think the commissioner would be willing to stay the entire meeting if need be.
Sue, come on up and sit with us for a minute so we could...
I think she wants to get in on the debate.
How much do you want to bet? That's all the money.
Never been without an opinion, but I've learned that I can't always express it.
Nice. Okay, tell us. We won't tell.
So all three of these are late. So we're going to, if you could tell us why they're late once I go read them, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000. And that's for...
Here in Ashton, is that Bill Filio law?
384, 385, 386.
It's 384. Constanze Crane.
Constanze Crane.
That one for a while.
This one, it actually needs legislative approval, not so much because it's over 50, but because it's more than 20% of a contract that's related to a capital project.
Yep.
The original contract is 36,000, and we're adding 25,000, where we can only add 7,200.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because we had some issues setting the temporary bridge. I don't know. There was something in the paper about the West Side abutment was settling more than anyone anticipated, and we had to, so we had to have the crane come back several times. And they were, you know, they accommodated us, thankfully, because otherwise we would have been held up waiting for somebody else to come. Okay.
And doing it late this month, if I could just jump in, because Stanzi Crane is a local company, and we want to make sure that they're not, you know, that payment is delayed for an extended period of time for a local vendor.
Where are they based out of?
Town of Kingston?
Right out by South Kingston.
I have a favor. Did we move this 384?
No.
I'll move it.
Now, so we actually spent the money already anyway.
Well, we have to pay them, yes.
So, this is
another, and I'm going to say this again because I've said it at other meetings, and I'm just trying to keep saying it until somebody hears me. And this is an odd exception simply because of the situation that we were in and the timing of the delivery, getting the temporary bridge open, getting the other bridge taken down, getting the truss and floor beam set. When you approve funding for a capital project and the work for that project is bid out according to state law, which it always is because these things are big and they're always over $35,000, we have no choice but to award it to the low bidder, and we've done it according to the state law. And to have to come back again for approval of a contract that we really don't have a lot of control over, it just slows everything we do another month. And I know that the charter says that you have to approve these things, and I get that, but the charter also says, if I remember, because I haven't looked at it in a while, that you have the ability to accept accept certain contracts that you are charged with approving and take that category and allow them to be processed by others. So I know that there's always issues about control and all of that, but I
was going to say, this sounds like Mike said this.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure that I get the reception that I want from. But I'm saying that it makes sense in that we don't have a choice once we are bound by the state procurement system and the low bidder.
But having said that, for this particular issue,
why should we have to absorb that cost if it's the contractor's fault? If the footing
it's not
is
the contractor's fault.
It's not the contractor's
fault. Who did the footing? Who set the footing?
That's the existing original abutment. That was the abutment from the original bridge.
Okay.
Right. And the western end of the temporary bridge was supposed to be positioned there. And when they put it there, it was sinking. And so we had to take it back off, and we had to pour concrete footings and put steel beams or steel plates on top. And then we had to extend the bridge so that there'd be enough counterweight on the other side of it and reset it.
Okay, but here's what I don't understand. The last time I was in that area was during the fair. Mm-hmm. Temporary bridge is to the right of the old bridge.
Correct.
So there were no footings on the temporary bridge. Somebody put them on there. Are we talking about that the temporary bridge's footings aren't good or the original bridge's footings aren't good?
I think she's speaking of the old bridge.
The existing bridge, right. The west side abutment for the existing bridge is a resting place for part of the temporary bridge. It's like the... Let's see, that's the west.
It's almost the southern, a little diagonal, isn't it?
Yeah. The southern...
All right, so it was a deficiency that was already pre-existing in the old bridge.
Yeah, I mean you know we went through this with geostabilization.
You can't always know this until you actually get out there and you can't always know. I mean that's part of what this comes down to.
When you put the weight on it and it starts to go down, can't leave it.
Okay,
on.
I understand.
Because
it's 20% over the aggregate capital project. I mean, these are the questions I think that needs to be asked.
It's not over the capital project. The capital project is under. Right now, it's 20%
over the original contract.
Yeah. 20% for the crane. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to understand.
I know.
It.
I just
because this is how costs get out of hand.
Say,
you know, that we're just we're giving a resolution for $243,000 when we already had a resolution for the bridge for X amount of dollars. It's got to happen so fast that
Carl,
what?
We're on 384, Carl.
Well, I was looking at 385 because
we're talking about 25. It is the same project, but we're talking specifically though right now about this part right here, which right now is 25,000.
Yeah,
right?
The crane.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Overall,
skip ahead.
Well, it's all right, but the overall.
Are we good?
Well, it's a big difference. Yeah.
Rich, you got something to add, or can I get these guys back to work tomorrow?
No, I'm not. I have a quick question. So I was on the. Does everybody remember Ralph Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Ralph?
Yeah.
Nope.
I talked to him the other day. Ralph is a guy we hired to come up when there were all kinds of problems with the jail.
Yep.
And he worked with the county and the contractors, and he's a pretty good construction guy. So I was talking to him the other day on the phone, and he said, how'd that problem work out on the bridge that he had to come up to the county to help get in the middle of? And he said, did we talk to you guys about it? And I said, no, we were never notified there was an issue on the bridge between the contractors and the county.
Are you talking about this bridge?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what bridge? I mean, could this be the bridge we're spending more money because they had to bring Ralph Johnson up from Virginia to?
No, I think he's talking about the bridge where the fiber optics were found. Yeah, I think that's what you're talking about.
The litigation.
We're in litigation right now based on
down in Highland.
I never knew about it.
That was two years ago.
Virginia, we're getting sued. Nobody in the county tells us. You know? Did you know, Dave? Did you know, Kevin?
I didn't know about Johnson being here.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, so just we find out things, you know.
We passed a resolution last month to increase fees, other fees for professional service to defend the county in the lawsuit.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that Ralph
was involved in this. But what it is, it was a subcontractor's. We're not going to get into it.
Okay. It's
just like one of these things.
Did Steve Fabiano know as chairman of the Public Works Committee at the time that he was here? I mean, if you don't know...
I mean, we passed a resolution that last month. It was talked about in this committee last month.
This is something that happened a year ago.
We spoke very generically about... Yes. Hold on. About Ralph being brought back?
No.
We didn't discuss it at all. Well, yeah, of course, because we had to put it on the floor. We had to discuss it.
All right, we're getting off track here with Johnson.
If we didn't need more money, would we have known?
Yeah.
No. That's all I'm getting.
All in favor of getting this bridge going tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's okay.
Reading the wrong resolution.
Now you can go back to 385.
385,
I'm on 385.
I second.
We're going to approve an execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county.
And this is for
Niagara Erecting.
This is for a 600-ton crane to set the truss and the floor beams on the new bridge.
Yep.
So the demo's going on now, and then we have some work to do, and then they will... This is supposed to be delivered the last week of August, the first week of September.
No, is this an add-on?
No. This is part of the original construction.
That old one, the smaller contract.
Out of respect for the legislature, I think that we'd like to pass this before the crane comes, rather than pass it after.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna second the chairman on this point.
Possibility.
All in favor?
Aye.
386. Authorizing the chairman of Ulster County to enter a lease extension agreement with GD Realty Company in Kingston.
I'll move it.
Second? Hector?
What is this for now?
This is for the court. This is to keep, well, for at least temporarily, for the for family court.
Your extension to the lease with the descendants of Abel Garrigan. That's a decent way to put it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was there a second, Mr. Chair?
I didn't hear it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. A very disgruntled aye. The Hotel California.
All right, where are we going now?
We're leaving.
Okay, 291, set the public hearing. John, this is what you've been waiting for?
No, he's looking for another one.
All right. Proposed local law number 9, campaign finance.
Hey, listen, may I just ask a question before you go further?
Yes.
To the honorable chair of people. I'd be curious to know if Mr. Ralph Johnson did work for the county in the last year or two. Maybe you guys have the ability to find out. And the only reason we chatted with him was because a mutual friend was quite ill, and we called the guy, and it's all c'est la vie, what's under the bridge is under the bridge, but it's curious to be,
so to speak.
This guy had to come up, and then he asked us, is everything good? And we sound like a couple of dummies.
Yeah. If you don't ask, I'll ask Jay if you could check into it tomorrow.
You can do anything you want.
Jay, check and see if Johnson's around.
Okay, sorry.
On any other projects?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any more questions?
No.
See, kiddo.
Ralph
Wiggum.
Get up at 4:15.
Oh,
Ralph Wiggum.
Why?
The son of the
291,
Dave.
All righty. 291. We were going to have a workshop on this Monday, last Monday, but what happened was economy was supposed to happen right after economic development.
Environment.
And I mean environment. And at 7:00, when environment ended up going to 8:30. Arguing about almost nothing, but anyway, in the end, I'm not sure what they finished, but anyway, I know that they took they ran an hour and a half into the time that I was going to have a workshop. Now, anyway, so what I'm looking at, because you appointed me as the my subcommittee, and I want to find out, Rich, are you available this Wednesday?
Yeah, tomorrow's a meeting.
All right, so we'll do it on Wednesday. What time do you guys want?
Probably after 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
6 o'clock would be fine? All right, so 6 o'clock Wednesday?
Yes.
And you're good, Hector?
I'm good.
All right, good. And we'll do it, because we got put off on the other one, so we didn't get a chance to.
So at this time, Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion.
I didn't accomplish what you wanted me to do. I was a failure. I'm sorry.
I gave you to the end of the year. I didn't know you were taking me so seriously.
You want to expedite. At this time, Mr. Chair, I just move to postpone this another month so we can...
Fair enough.
...have our meeting.
I'll second it.
All right.
Have you known that the league was there?
The league was there, waiting patiently.
Yeah. So it might not be back.
You tell Barbara that she's got to come back.
We're going to 357, adopting proposed local law number 8, prohibiting the sale and use of sky lanterns.
Well, I don't know. After our last debate, I mean, if we don't have coverage in every county with regards to these sky lanterns, I don't know. I don't want to go and create a law then have it not be, you know.
I got a question.
If I'm in sky lantern, a sky lantern being let off in Orange County,
yeah,
would then not be that's right. If you want, Mr. Chair, you can go and just drive right down into Newburgh or you know.
Light them off all over.
Light them all over the place.
Now what happens
if I go to Montgomery?
If I light it off in Plattekill and it goes into Newburgh.
Well, it's still be illegal per this law because you lit it in Plattekill. However, the inverse, well, it's a little more dicey.
You know, I was looking into this, right?
So you can light them and have them point right at Plattekill.
I mean, maybe all that business will go to Orange County, and then we'll just see a sea of sky lanterns just kind of come off over that, you know.
You're going to beat me up tonight, then?
I have to say, in defense of the sky lantern law, you know, counties across New York State have allowed the sale of sparkling devices, and some counties haven't.
I had that one coming. It's okay.
And we're, you know, so are you going to throw a sparkling device over the county line into another county, and then?
Well, just saying that per this, I guess that's the direction we're going in. It's got to be an all or nothing now.
We require neighboring counties to actually register their lanterns so that we know where they came from. There we go.
They're dangerous to the environment. They're dangerous to livestock. They fly in into people's farms and kill their animals. So I think we should pass this.
Yeah. Are we gonna get sued? Because now all of a sudden
we have the authority to do this.
You can't get sued over doing
this.
Well,
sure?
You can't.
I don't know. I don't
you
know.
Can get sued for any. You can sue anybody for anything in this country.
I know.
It's a very litigious society.
I think I now want to see the case law and the opinions on this.
Has Chris provided us with any?
I'm gonna have one. I'm gonna have working one up now. Now you're asking for it.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, this one already went to public hearing. We had a public hearing last month. We didn't have any discussion from the public on.
And it shows how much the public wants more regulations.
Well, Mr. Chair, you're
tell me I'm not.
I was gonna say apparently.
All right, so we call the vote here or what?
Right.
I mean, we've been there an hour and 5 minutes. And let's get moving.
It's not the length of these, it's the quality.
Well, I didn't see the quality coming out right now.
So moved and seconded, Mr. Chairman?
I didn't get it.
I'll move it.
Hey, who moved it?
I'll move it.
Without a second, I guess we'll have to.
That's right. I didn't hear a second. I didn't hear a second. Rich, you're killing her mojo down here. Come on. All right.
Who was talking about it out of order then? Who brought up the discussion?
I mean, Hector couldn't wait to.
I thought it was already moved.
No,
sorry.
I saw him vibrating in his seat waiting to get
all
me.
The vote.
So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Dave?
I'll be
paying. Dave cares about livestock.
I love my cow.
Got a lot of livestock here in Kingston, do you, Dave?
We're going to jump ahead to 3. We're jump behind last one to 363, Dave. Proving a ballot proposition to be submitted to the qualified voters of Ulster County.
Right, and I think...
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right, thank you. I mean, it's really a... A neutral, the ballot should be neutral, and that's all there is. That's the way I looked at it. I have a feeling that it can be. This, the way it was going to be set up or is set up now, can and will be challenged in court. And the problem with that is if it does get challenged in court, it may get put off and not even be on the ballot this year if it gets pulled off.
Well, I have a question. If you challenge it in court, does the legislature pay for that?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, the legislature would have to pay to defend it, probably, right? Or the county?
Yeah, they would have to defend it.
The county would.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it would cost the taxpayers, but not the legislature. It wouldn't come out of our budget line.
Well, what's the cost of going to court over having the court administration
$420
not give us our state aid or whatever to run the courts?
I doubt it. They're going to be doing that.
I thought that's what they threatened.
They'll know that what happens is it gets challenged, and if something happens, it gets knocked off the ballot and goes for another year. But I mean, but the point is, I think what I'm asking for is, in a sense, all it's doing is creating a neutral ballot. That is not swayed in one way or the other. The other way saying that, you know, in order to better serve children and families, I mean, you know, this is a loaded word that you're putting in a ballot, and it's not, I really don't feel that was necessary. I realize, and I'll credit to Legislator Ron, Chairman Ron, that, you know, pointed out he did send out a message to everybody, but I thought it, to be honest with you, I thought it was a no-brainer. I thought, you know, it was just going to be a neutral ballot, so I didn't need to respond to it. I mean, otherwise I would have responded to it. And I think, you know, after we saw the wording, both John and I responded to it. John, who was a former election commissioner, in other words, also saw it as not neutral, and I saw it as not neutral, and that's all I wanted to do was be neutral. Now, and like I said, I did have discussions with others, and any attorney that I've talked to, I haven't talked to you, but any other attorney that I've talked to, I didn't talk to him, but I mean, I talked to our attorney, and I talked to attorneys I played golf with, and they all looked at it, and they said, that wording is inappropriate.
If I could, Mr. Chairman?
You can answer that.
Legislator Donaldson, Legislator Parity, we've had some conversations. I respect your opinion on it. I don't necessarily agree. I think that we're providing the public with a little bit of background information on why we're doing what we're doing. I actually got a unsolicited email, believe me or not, from a gentleman I've never met, nor may I ever meet, from the town of Saugerties, who thanked me for wording it that way, said that most voters, you know, when going to the polls, don't even know that there is a ballot question, let alone have any backup information on it. And, you know, and asked me, you know, after the last article in the paper to leave it the same. That having been said, I've talked to our legislative counsel, Erica Guerin. I've talked to the county attorney, B. Hibranek. Both of those legal minds think that it is legal for us to do it this way, that there's nothing illegal about the ballot question, and B feels comfortable she can defend it if there is a challenge. And I'd like to address one more thing. I have a great deal of respect for the fact that legislators Donaldson and Parity wrote me, you know, with concerns when I sent out the, you know, the ballot question to the legislature, and I appreciate that because the comments that were given, you know, were taken to heart. And I looked back at it, made some changes, made it a little bit less, as you would say, legislator. I don't concede this point for the record, because we're building a record here for a possible challenge. I don't concede that it was leading, but maybe it was a little too excited. So I walked it back a little bit, and I appreciated your input on it. However, there are a number of legislators that, if this were to go to the floor, from what I understand from caucus, are going to vote no and brought it up in the Democratic caucus that they thought it's this or they thought it's that or they didn't like it because of this or that. And it's wild to me because I put out, you know, multiple emails for input and got nothing from some of these legislators that had so much to say about it. So that, you know, I got a deep amount of respect for yourself and legislative Parity for bringing your concerns to me instead of after the fact in caucus.
Dave?
Now, I understand that, but like I said, the reason I didn't respond when you originally put it out was that I thought it was a no-brainer. It was just going to be a neutral ballot, like most ballots are when you request, do you support this or do you not? Not do you you support saving women and children and families? I wasn't.
And orphans. Don't forget orphans.
And orphans.
That's right.
Yeah, women, children, families, and all orphans. I didn't know that it was going to be that. Now, when you're talking about the idea of somebody emailing you or whatever, saying that they're glad because people don't know anything about ballots, and I certainly understand where they're coming from. So to me, it seems like what you're saying was that, in other words, this guy said, yes, it's good that you're manipulating that ballot, so you manipulate the vote a little bit.
Huh.
I mean, that's what it is.
That's what I said.
I know that's not what you said, but what I'm saying,
just wanted to be clear for the record.
That, in a sense, you're saying that it's okay because you're giving this information that is manipulative in nature. And that's what it is.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's manipulative.
You didn't say that. I'm saying that what you're saying is this guy turns around and says this to me, that the language is manipulative in nature. And you said, well, and the guy said, well, I'm glad because people don't usually know what they're voting for, so you're giving them the information. But the information is one-sided. You give them information that is supposedly better for the women and children and families of Ulster County.
The children
and families. The better service to children and families, and to keep your property taxes lower. I mean, what else do you want to put in there? To save America? I mean, you know, to make it, I mean, I don't, you know, they, I mean, it's,
I think we should give Mr. Donaldson a few minutes to come up with a more exaggeration.
It's manipulative. It's manipulative in nature. That's all there is to it.
That's true.
Carl, go ahead.
In my 7 years in public service, people disagree on many things, but they all agree on one thing. They want lower taxes.
Oh,
with that said, lower taxes. They all agree on lower taxes.
So yeah,
with that said,
we've lowered taxes.
I'm looking at your record on this issue. You know, you voted against the resolution that would, you know, create this wording. You voted against the plan. Now that we've got a plan and that we passed last month for the referendum, what's your fiduciary responsibility as a legislator to the taxpayers of not only the city of Kingston, but the county of Ulster to
you want to say, put a cog in the wheel to oppose this, the wording of the referendum that's already been passed, and to
the wording was never
potentially
passed.
Potentially cost the taxpayers.
The wording was never passed.
No, it was never passed, Carl.
Yeah. Technically, it's up to the clerk of the legislature to file the wording.
So
it was done by the chairman.
To put on a ballot.
Okay.
The wording was never
done by you.
But what I'm saying is,
I thought you said it was done by Mike Kine. I thought you were going to point to me.
But what I'm saying is, this referendum, what fiduciary responsibility do we all have?
We're very proud
to
what is that
put
that
on
to do
the ballot and to have it passed.
What
we
got
don't
to
want
do
it to pass.
Good
we
government.
Don't want to just stick it out there
to
and
me,
coin 50.
Good government, when they do a ballot, they do it. In other words, I can't put on my ballot the wonderful Dave Donaldson who's going to lower taxes. That's not what ballots are supposed to be about. They're neutral. It has my name on it, has my opponent's name on it.
When we put on the ballot to reduce the size of the legislature,
no,
33
right,
to 23,
I didn't see it. Right.
We never said you're going to go from 23 to 33, saving $10,000 a year, plus in health insurance, plus retirement benefits. It said, shall the Ulster County Legislature go to single-member districts, and should they reduce the number of legislators from 33 to 23? That's all it said.
That's right.
It never went on and saying you're going to save money, you're going to save this.
Yeah.
Never. That's
sure,
not the job. The
saying,
job is to ask them a question
or
and
opinions.
Let them form an opinion on what they think is the best. The information's out there. And you know what?
Prevent
they don't know
war.
People will leave it blank. But to me, if I read a leading question, I will automatically vote the other way because I know politicians aren't saving money and, you know, they're trying to do the best they can, but if anybody thinks moving to the town of Ulster is going to reduce our taxes, do you think anybody's going to vote yes for that? They really believe our taxes are going to go down?
Doesn't say that we're
spending money,
actually.
Well, we're saving money.
We're spending
but
money.
But you're not even showing them you're saving
money. No, it's
you
to
are.
Do
we are.
It,
we are.
And,
I mean, no, great. We're going from. If I could just jump in, because I was just going to sit here and take it all night. I swear to God.
But when we talk about, you know, I can defend with actual numbers and, you know, and figures the fact that going from a triple net lease that we've had since the 1980s,
okay,
we're at $200,000 a pop plus the, you know, the folks, you know, that we're negotiating with now. Tried to bump it up $50,000 a year this year, and if you believe that, you know, over 10 more years or 20 more years, they're not going to bump it up $50,000 because we got no choice but to go there. So going from a triple net lease, we're paying, you know, including taxes, $300,000 a year on this building to a county-owned facility that after we pay for the improvements to the county-owned facility, we're not going to have any more $300,000 a year to spend, that reduces costs. Nobody has ever said that this is not going to reduce costs over time. That's never been an argument. There's been arguments about whether or not it should stay in the city. There's been arguments about whether or not... There's not been an argument about whether or not it shouldn't stay where it is.
And that's fine. The question to me, and I'm not, I think you did a nice job by changing it, but it should just be neutral. Should we move out of the city of Kingston to a county? I think Dave's language, actually, if you read it, is excellent. I think it's fair. It's stating the facts. We are moving out to a county-owned building into the city of Kingston. And again, I'm not upset.
I understand.
I understand. I'll support that too.
I just.
But I think when we reduced the legislature, we didn't say we're going to save health insurance, 401ks. We're going to save money. Therefore, you should vote this way.
And you're not saying
it was
going to be.
Should we reduce the legislature from 33 to 23?
And
should
we
go
say,
to single? We didn't say. People are going to have better representation. We didn't say any of that stuff. It was just we going from 33 to 23. That was it.
I think that they're fundamentally different ballot questions. But that having been said, I'm not going to sit here and fight about it all night. We have a ballot question that's already been filed at the Board of Elections. I'm opposed to undoing it.
The ones you read on the state about transferring property or doing things, they're just generically worded. They're not saying this is a good plan for the state because we're going to. It just says, shall New York State do this? Shall New York State do that? That's all those questions I'm saying.
Want me to read you the one about the casino gambler?
No, right, exactly. The casino gambler was a prime example, yes.
And I heard a loud ruckus
totally
about
that
how
thing.
Leading and terrible it was and how
it
we
was
were
leading. It was leading.
All right, I'm going to give Dave the final word if he wants it, then we're going to vote.
The casino one John. Was leading, without a doubt, and I disagreed with it.
I mean, Richie was reading over my shoulder, and I brought the questions that were on the ballot that... were right. Dictated and voted on by the Ulster County Legislature, not by anybody else. It was voted on in a resolution. Shall the size of the Ulster County Legislature be reduced from 33 to 23, effective January 1, 2012, following the results of the 2010 census? Didn't say, as Richie said, we're going to be saving $10,000 over 30, with 13 legislators, that's $8.6 million. And we did the same thing. Shall all districts of the Ulster County Legislature contain only single members? Now, we believe then, and I still believe, that on the ballot should be simple and not editorialized. And I did write a note to Ken, and we chatted about it, so it was good. That's fine. I have no dog in this fight. I lost the vote, 18 to 4. That's pretty much the end of it. The mayor wants it moved to the town of Ulster. The common council want it moved to the town of Ulster. I don't think there's a big thing to worry about. But embellishing...
I don't either.
Embellishing the reasoning behind it, the description is incredibly disingenuous to the point that was brought up about the ballot initiative on the gambling that the governor's people thought they would lose, and they forced them to change it because a Marist poll showed people the two questions. And the one that went on the ballot increased the yes votes by about 10%. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. When we put this on, those of us that wanted to reduce the size, those of us that wanted single-seat districts, went around and beat the bushes to get the public to vote yes or to educate them. Not just to say, I mean, I didn't even read Dave's thing. I would just say to move family courts from the city of Kingston to the town of Ulster.
Oh, really?
Period. So I
well, the only thing is by
I'm not voting against. I'm not doing this here because I lost the vote. It's over. No. I'm not going to fight. I got no dog in this from up in Boyceville.
Okay, John, Dave, and then Chris, and then the vote.
You by law, you specifically have to write that you're moving it from one place, exact location,
yes,
to whatever the other location. That's why that was put in there the way I worded it. I wanted to comply with the law. I don't want. Now I'm not trying to be disingenuous and, you know, try to trick everybody to do this, and then it's illegal, and then you get screwed over. That's not. It was certainly not my intent. And
well,
I,
you know, I assume that, by the way. I assume that's what you're doing.
I most likely this will pass because it has the support of most legislators, and it has the support of the county executive, and most people will. But I really think that the manipulative language may come back to bite you because of the manipulative language, I have no choice but to fight this because it's wrong. It's just, to me, it's a good government issue. It's wrong to try to manipulate the public in a ballot in that manner. You should be very clear on what the ballot is, not being manipulative, not saying to better serve children and families. And to keep taxes low, I think it says.
No, it doesn't.
What does it say on there about taxes?
It says reduce the need to raise property
oh,
taxes.
Oh, reduce the
and
need to raise property taxes.
And ever increasing triple net leases cause us to have reduce to raise property taxes.
But that's not dealing with this particular issue. It could
is.
Be somewhere else.
But
so therefore, that's not.
I don't agree.
In other words, those things are not. So, I mean, so the point is, it becomes a situation where it ends up being challenged, and then more people are going to turn around and say, no, wait a minute, is this shady? Because I'm going to make it a shady, because it's shady because of the way it's being balloted. So to me, it's shady.
Chris, go ahead.
I mean, it's simple.
So I'm not on this committee, but I think there's a lot going on here. And I mean, sometimes in the legislature, individual legislators, you know, mm-hmm. and at times myself included, we have the propensity to overthink and overanalyze things, and the best product doesn't necessarily come out of that overthinking and overanalysis. Before I became a legislator, I worked for 3 years as a paid election inspector. Jay Mailer was one of my bosses, and she trained me. I used to work up in Woodstock. Woodstock is known to have the highest voter participation rates for turnout, and Woodstock voters are thought of as being well-informed because they're into politics maybe more than some other parts of Ulster County. I would overhear people coming in on election day not knowing who their state senator is, discussing with one another. Not, you know, so something like a ballot referendum issue, there's going to be a very low base of knowledge, even from well-informed voters that take their opportunity to live out their civic function in voting every year, and a place like Woodstock would be indicative of that. So I think what's going on here, if you want to look at it, you know, postmodern means it's up to interpretation. Reality isn't reality, perception is reality. If you want to look at that from a postmodern type perspective, one could argue that it's leading by just leaving it blank, because by leaving it generic language, saying that we want to move it from Kingston to that town of Ulster, and not mentioning the monetary savings that we have out of this. And the reason why is because that is the whole purpose of this. The county executive's office and county government, they would keep this in Kingston if they could. The matter of fact is we don't have any usable commercial real estate tracts of land available. And so there's a lot of things going on here. So this is an unfunded state mandate. We've got a third family court judge added on that the state isn't assisting us in paying off. Okay, we're already behind the timetable that the state mandated us. They've been telling us for like a year and 10 months that we're behind schedule in moving forward with this. So, I mean, we could add a lot more information on this ballot referendum. And I think using and with no disrespect to any of my colleagues in here who have far more experience in years on the job than I do, the reality is comparing the downsizing of legislative districts and conflating from 33 legislators to 23 legislators, it's like mixing apples and oranges. Because, yes it is, because...
How many people voted on those resolutions? How did they know about them?
Because it's inherent in the language. Anybody can figure out, gee, we're going to save taxpayer money if we go to 23 legislators instead of...
How did they know about
it? The whole intent behind moving to the town of Ulster is to save the taxpayers' money. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I'm a fiscal conservative. And I don't care, I'm registered Democrat, but I'm a proud fiscal conservative. And the reality is, it was calculated that we would save $10,721,000. Now, people could argue that moving people out of Golden Hill and the other facility in Kingston, we've got to move all the county employees out of there, we got to move them into another location, we got to lease out comparable space that's going to fit the needs of those departments. Okay, we're going to have to find a permanent home for those departments. We're going to have to subcontract in a moving crew to move all that stuff over there. We could put all that in the ballot referendum.
How much is it
going to
cost out there? How much is it
going to
cost?
Well, even if it doesn't...
No, how much is it going to cost?
Let's say it's...
You know what? How much is it going to save? How much is it going to cost?
Well, we should put that in the ballot.
You tell me right now.
The reality, the answer is, I was told it's going to be $4 to $5 million, I believe, from Ways and Means. Legislator Ronk, if you can confirm that with me, or someone else on Ways and Means.
What was that?
Legislator Belfiglio, $4 to $5 million to retrofit the BRC, I believe, was the figure we were told, and then add $10,721,000 on Golden Hill Mental Health Facility and the other facilities. That's how much it would cost.
All in favor of 363?
All right, the point is that what he's saying is totally off base anyway.
Well,
the point is that we don't know what the numbers are going to be. They did not do in-depth numbers.
The Democratic caucus isn't going to roll over and just vote all yes and yes with this.
All in favor.
And they vote.
All right, hold on.
Calling the vote.
Again,
all in favor.
It's based on neutrality. Let's make the ballot neutral and move on.
Question's been called. All in favor.
All in favor. All right.
All right.
Opposed.
No.
3-3.
All right, please immediately send out a petition to discharge.
If fully executed, the resolution goes on.
I hope it goes on, and I hope you don't come back to bite you guys. I really don't, because I have no choice but to move on with it.
your business? Oh, God. Hector.
It is meant as discussion, so don't worry. if anything, I think we've already kind of gotten the preview from Chairman Ronk as well as from Council with regards to your opinions on the matter, with regards to Westchester's law. So I've already got that sneak preview coming in. I would clearly expect us to probably begin discussion in September. I'm clearly not expecting it to be moved in September, but that's
okay.
More of a, to be very blunt about it, just more of just kicking it off, that discussion. All right.
Thank you.
A human rights law for Ulster County. So it's actually the last, in the packet or no? Yeah. Okay.
Motion to adjourn, all in favor.
All right.
Thank you all.
Bye.